Okay, page Kof Nun Vav Lama Ahav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Es Avos. That's where we're up to. On page Kof Nun Vav, we're still in the middle of Kof Samachay. The Lama Ahav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Es Avos. Why does Hashem love the Avos? M'neisha Kol Hayom Chol Alayla Lo Hayu Liban Poinem Mila Harher Achar Cheftse Shemayim. Sefer Chasidim says something. I don't know how he knows this, but he says that there wasn't a moment that passed, day and night. They were not thinking about Cheftse Shemayim, concerned about spiritual matters. Shenemar, it's Pasuk, that's how he knows it. Ki'im biyiras Hashem kol hayoyim. And that's Pasuk in Mishlei. Uchumoy shekosu v'yikatz Yaakov mishin asoy. He woke up from his sleep, and Chazal darshin, the word mishin asoy does not mean just sleep, it means v'omr Chazal v'yikatz Yaakov mi mishin asoy, from his learning. From his learning. Mishnah means to learn, to study. So it says here, it's a reference that Yaakov Avinu, even when he slept, sleeping at night was nothing more than a review session. Okay? That's what it says. There's a time, Vayikas Mishnah Sai, from his learning. Many asked, what? While he was sleeping, he was reviewing his learning. People ask this question, very interesting question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create man that he need, in such a way in that he needs to sleep? What is the purpose of sleep? This is an age-old scientific question. And if you're a religious person, it's a very difficult, it's a very good question, because we have a principle, Ki Bitzelem Elokim Bara Es Ha'adam. Man has been created in the image of Hashem. Concerning the Ribbono Shel Olam, it says, Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. There is no such thing as Hashem sleeping. That's what it says, Pasuk. Lo yonum v'lo yishon. So if man is created in the image of Hashem, why then is there something called sleep? It's a very difficult question. Okay, we know that we have eyes because Hashem Kaviyachol has eyes, whatever that means. We have a nose because Hashem Kaviyachol Vayorach Hashem Es Reach Ani Choyach. We have the Koyach HaDibur because we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu communicates with this world. We have hands. Hashem's Yad is Yodoi Netuya. Hashem's hand is outstretched. We have feet because Kadosh Baruch Hu travels. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever, Hashem, this world is the Hadoim Raglov. It's Hashem's footstool. Okay, there's all of this imagery of connecting every single part of a person's body, a parallel between a person and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what then does it mean that a person goes to sleep? By the Ribbono Shel Olam, there is no such thing as sleep. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon. What does this mean? It's a very tough question, and I don't have an answer. But one at least little small insight, and this is discussed,
sleep,
is
they don't sleep, they don't function.
So why did Hashem make it? Why did Hashem make it that a person? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that a person has to go to sleep? Why is there such a weakness in man? So this is it's a big topic of discussion. But one little small insight is what he just presented us right now, is that when you're sleeping, you're not really sleeping. We think that when you sleep, you shut down. We don't even really fully comprehend what happens to a person. All the science we have today, there's no way that we fully comprehend what's going on. We don't know what's going on when you're awake. Okay, forget about that. You don't know what's going on in your mind when you're awake. But we really have no clue what is going on in your mind when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, it seems that the scientists tell us that your mind, that time when you're sleeping, your mind is utilizing to categorize. Is that the right word? To put in order. To put everything in storage. Everything that it's like, you know, you finish learning Beis Medrash, and the Beis Medrash is a mess because the boys don't put away the Svarim. No one put everything away. So you have to go and bring in the Gaboyim to come and to clean up the Beis Medrash and put all the books on the shelf. Everything has a number. Everything has a makom. Everything has to go in its right place. So many suggest that when a person goes to sleep, during the day you're collecting information, you're absorbing a massive amount of information. When a person goes to sleep, the mind is taking that information and putting it in storage in a location where it can be easily retrieved when necessary later on. So the truth is, you're not really sleeping. We think, we are misled to believe that when a person goes to sleep, he shuts down completely. Zero. Oh, you dream? Not everyone dreams. Everyone has dreams. And if you dream, who says the dreams have any meaning whatsoever? It's just total nonsense. As far as you're concerned, your body is, you turn off the switch, pull out the plug, and you're sleeping. Then you got a kasha. The kasha is, the Ribbono Shel Olam, lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. But when you understand that when you're sleeping, you're not really sleeping. You're just engaged in a different type of activity. In fact, many will argue that when you're sleeping, your mind is even busier than when you're awake. Because when you're awake, you're just, you know, you're sitting around and you're just taking it all in. When you go to sleep is when your mind first gets to work. Now, I got over here, you know, when you come home from work, many people, that's when work first begins. You go to the office, and what do you do the whole day in the office? You talk to this one, you talk to that one, you're putting out fires. Many people, when they go to work, they're just responding to emergencies, putting out fires, responding to everyone that's trying to drive you crazy. And then finally, when the work day is over, now, let me get something done. Let me go on the offensive and let me accomplish something, what I need to accomplish, so before tomorrow begins, and I got to go put out more fires. When you go to sleep, that's really what you're doing. When you go to sleep, you're taking in all the mail, everything that came in today, and now you're first getting to work. You're first getting to work and you're putting everything in order. Yaakov Avinu, where do you know that there's some truth to this in Chazal? Yaakov Avinu, here it says, Vayikatz Yaakov mi shin osa. He writes, it's a dot in the shin, which makes the shin into a shva no, mi shin osa. But you have to say a little bit, you have to say a little quicker because you have to connect the mem to the shin also. It's mi shin osa. Yaakov Avinu, he woke up from his sleep. Al tikri, don't read mishnosoi, ela mi mishnosoi. Mishnosoi, make believe there's another mem. Mi mishnosoi, he woke up from his study. When he was sleeping, he was doing nothing more than organizing. What was he organizing? He spent 14 years learning in the Beis Medrash Shel Shein V'Aver. And Chazal said he never slept. Now, that's impossible. If you want to look at Yaakov Avinu as a human being needs to sleep. So that means he did sleep, but he never got a good night's sleep. He slept. Okay, I once heard from a woman who has a lot of children, and she said from the day that her first child, I think she has 13 children, and she said from the day that her first child was born, it must be now probably close to 50 years, she has not got one good night of sleep.
Good bracha for her.
She has not got one good night of sleep since the first kid was born. So it's crying the whole night. And then by the time the kid gets a little bit older, right? The next one's on the way. And then the next one. And then what do you do the rest of your life? You're in crisis respond mode. Okay? Crisis. I know someone, you know what he does the whole day? He's not living this person anymore. But what does he do the whole day? He has a lot of kids. He passed away already. He has a lot of kids. And his kids all have a lot of kids also. And his wife has a very good job. And he has two jobs. One is more of a, he passed away. One is like more of a Shabbos job. His main job, he works very hard on Shabbos, and during the week he has a job, but the job he has during the week is not as labor intensive. And his wife has a very good job, and he has Kenina, he passed away, a very big family. And the wife was not the type to handle the crisis. Like anything he needs to research, which doctor, which medicine, to which someone needs a parnasa, what school to go to, this. And all the children came to him, because that was his personality. Help me. Give me advice. Where should I send? I have this problem, I have that problem. So what he meant for years, you know, I always marveled for years, what did he do? I called it crisis management. The whole day, from morning till evening, he was involved in crisis management. And because he was so good with his children, people came to him. And he helped so many people in all different types of situations. And that's what he did. And he had a job also. He worked also very hard. But he dealt a lot with crisis management. So he never got a good night's sleep. He never got a good night's sleep. And this woman said about herself, she never got a good night's sleep, dealing the whole life with crisis management. Every problem that comes up, you have got to deal with. So Yaakov Avinu, when he was in the space of shame, the Aver, he never got a good night's sleep. So what does that basically mean? He was never able to organize in his mind everything that he learned for the 14 years that he studied in Beis Medrash of Shem V'Ever. What did they do there exactly? What did they learn? I have no clue.
No idea.
No idea. What did they learn? I have no idea.
He learned how to wrestle.
No idea what they did. No. Obviously, it's totally beyond us how they studied. What did they study?
They didn't have it.
They didn't have any books. So what are they? How do they study? What do they do?
This is
such a great mystery. It is such a great mystery to try to understand what do they do? What do they do for 14 years in Beis Medrash? What? What did he learn? How long does that take? 14 years? It takes 14 years? A smart guy can probably cover all that material in a couple of hours.
The one thing we know he didn't learn is how to differentiate between.
How do you know? Why do you say that? Maybe Rachel Leah was so smart. Whatever he knew, she knew better.
Where did she learn?
What? Lavan taught her. She learned from Lavan. Lavan was a match. Lavan was a match for Yaakov. And Chazal say.
If she would have gone to Beis Yaakov, she wouldn't have.
Lavan was a brilliant person. Okay, so this is a very big mystery. In any event, let's go further. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu, after learning for 14 years, he slept. He got his first good night of sleep. And what did he do in that first good night of sleep? When he just slept? Sleeping gives the mind the opportunity to put everything al mekoymoi in his mind, to organize, to be put everything away so you can easily retrieve the information at your need disposal when the time comes. So this is what we learn over here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loved the Avos. He loved Yaakov, because Yaakov, this is what he used his sleeping for, to organize his mind, not to dream about becoming rich and famous and who knows what. Yaakov Avinu was fully involved in every moment of his life in serving Hashem. Next paragraph. Here we go
when
to.
When was the Nevi'ah? Did the Nevi'ah come at night or during the day?
So the Rambam discussed, there are many different types. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi who had Nevi'ah when he was fully awake. Fully awake. But the Rambam says all other Nevi'im, they received their prophecy when they were sleeping. They were sleeping. That's what he said many times. There are tzaddik hakohen. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to wake up the Jewish people before Matan Torah? How could they dare go to sleep before Matan Torah? So Rav Tzaddik says, because they really believe what Moshe said to them, that you're going to receive the Torah tomorrow. You're going to receive it in the form of a nevuah, prophecy. So to receive prophecy, you have to be asleep. So they went to sleep to receive the Torah. Moshe woke them up and says, no, this is different. Kabbalas HaTorah, you're going to be awake. You're not going to be asleep for Kabbalas HaTorah.
Why is it looking at the Jerusalem?
Because they should have realized that. They should have realized that Kabbalas HaTorah is not a Kabbalah when you're asleep. It's a Kabbalah when you're going to be awake. Now, we go to the next paragraph. The next paragraph is very typical of the Sefer Hasidim, where he loves to put everything in terms of numbers. One of his biggest smiles. Lama nikru talmidei chachamim soifrim, because they count. They're big counters. Chof dalit psukim Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov b'pasik echad al hasedid. Do you ever know that? 24 times in Tanakh do you find the pasik where you have all three mentioned together. Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. 24 times in Tanakh. Avla chavdal psukim shel Yaakov Einam al haseder. Okay, so we have, but there are another 24 psukim. Avram Yisrael Yaakov b'pasuk echad al haseder. There's another 24 psukim. Shel Yaakov einam al haseder. What do we mean by this? Vayavo Yaakov el Yitzchok aviv mamre kiryas ha'arba. He went back to his father Yitzchok. Where was Yitzchok located? He was located in the city of Mamre, which was the Kiryas HaArba, the city of the four, and that Rashi on that pasuk tells us it's either four giants live there, the four major giants, or they were the Kvarim. Okay, it was the cave that housed the four, Al HaOsid, Hi Chevroin, Asher Gor Shom, Avraham the Yitzchak. So look at this pasuk. In this pasuk, this is not part of the 24. This is a different pasuk, a different set of 24, where you have all three. You have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And in fact, in this pasuk, Yitzchak is mentioned twice. But look at the order. The order is first comes Yaakov, then comes Yitzchak, and then comes Avraham. So you have over here in this pasuk all three harei einam al haseder. Ulekach, therefore, chof dalet al haseder. They are going back to the 24 that are in order. Ki hayu kol chof dalet shows beseder echad. With regard to the 24, shlo hayu lohem penai mechefse shlo hayu lohem penai mechefse shomai mafilu b'chaloyim. They had no other time for anything else other than chefse shomayim, even in a dream, shenemar, v'li to me my yokru re'echa, how precious is it, your friendship. Uchsiv, it says, hakitzoisi, I wake up, v'oidi imoch, I'm still with you, which means that when I was sleeping, you were also with me. In other words, he seems to be saying, we'll read the parish in a moment, that the reason why there are exactly 24 psukim is because there are 24 hours in the day. Okay, there are 24 hours in the day corresponding to the 24 psukim all the way around of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov al Haseder to indicate that these three people, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in the Seder of their lives, in 24 hours of the day, we're only thinking about Hashem. Obviously, these words are very, very cryptic. So let's take a look over here at the Mefarshim.
24 hours in a day, was that from the Gemara? How did it decide?
Yes, the Gemara actually makes that distinction, makes that and uses that formula. Who invented that formula of 24 hours in a day? Whoever said there should be such a thing like 20, that there should be significance in the number 24? This is a man-made, we assume, that this is a man-made invention. To divide the day into 24 parts. Who invented this? So it appears that there is rooted in tradition, in Mesorah. There's something to it. Now I'll tell you where one of the Mekoros comes from, and this is very interesting, is in Sefer. It's a very popular Medrash. A lot of people like to talk about this. In Sefer Koheles, it says there are itim. Ace Laledes, Ace Lamus, Ace Latas, Ace Laakarnatur, Ace Lismoyach, Ace to rejoice, Ace Livkois, Ace Rikoit. It says there, Ace. It says there's a time in life for everything. There's a time to embrace, there's a time to run away from embracing, there's a time to cry, time to laugh, a time to love, a time to hate, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to build, a time to demolish. Okay, it's a very beautiful, it's even called a Shira. It's a Shira in Sefer Koheles. Now here's the thing. How many Itim are there? Itim 28. Okay? No, let me explain. 28. This is what it says in the Medrash. This is a Medrash. Okay, this is not a pasuk, but there are many sources to try to. You touched upon something very, very important. To try to find the source for the 24 hours. There are 28. There are 28 itim. Now the Medrash goes on to say, well, Hashem created the world in how many days?
Six days.
That was it. Whoever told you seven? It doesn't say seven. It says it was 6 days. 6 days, it was over. So what happened? Hashem says, Hashem was a fundraiser. You think only we have to schnorr. Hashem had to go collect money. What was the Hashem's currency? What is the most valuable asset in the world? Time. Not kavod, and not money, and not knowledge. The most valuable asset in this world, more precious than anything, is time.
I saw a science fiction movie where people actually, when you bought something, give them time, and then the body had everyone had a calendar.
A counter.
When you ran out of time,
you're gone.
Gone. But if you know, like you're buying something, you're selling something, you know.
Wow.
And you're allowed to give time to each other, and that.
Wow. Fascinating.
Crazy idea. Yeah.
It's a very fascinating concept.
Yeah, but I just read something that's even more interesting. They were talking about universal time. Have you heard about that?
No.
UT, they were thinking about in the future that instead of having 24 time zones, everyone's going to be on the same exact time.
Right.
Greenwich Meridian time. And we're just used to getting up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. But we'll be on Greenwich. You get used to it after a while, you know, you'll have both. Your local time and Greenwich time. And after a while, you'll get used to it.
Well, today it's like that already. I mean,
they're doing that because the airplanes and railroads have a lot of trouble because of the time zones.
Well, there's GMT. Everyone knows, and you have to every time you fill on the online, you have to go subscribe. You have to go join. That you want to know what we're minus. New York is minus 5 GMT. GMT, right? So everyone has a different time. You think everyone's going to wake up at the same time? That's very far fetched. Everyone's going to wake up with no matter whether it's sunrise.
No. You wake up. You just get used to your city where you live. What time people get up? So you wake up at night.
It'll be a universal time.
Universal
it's
time.
To a degree, it's like that a little bit already today, okay, right? It's even more. Okay, but the most valuable asset, Rabbi Yisai, is time. There's no doubt about it. The most valuable. Now, this is what it says, and who knows? One day, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if we'll have a few more Einsteins and we'll have a greater understanding of how time works. It's the most mystical thing to understand how time works. They'll come around, the day will come when they'll come, they'll validate this Chazal. The original day, according to Chazal, this particular Medrash, this is just a Medrash, and this is just, take it with a grain of salt. This world was created in 6 days. Each day had what we would say, what we would call in our terms, 28 hours. It was a 28-hour day. Okay, 28-hour day. The Ribbono Shel Olam then was a fundraiser. And the only commodity out there was time. And Hashem went around with a tzetel, haskama, from the Gedolei Yisrael, that I'm collecting. I want to build something called Shabbos. I have an idea. I have an idea. I want to create Shabbos. I need money. Money! I mean, Kemachin Torah! The Taimachin Torah! Listen to the commercials from this video. It's just hilarious. Hilarious. You gotta see this video. You don't have the video, ask me. You guys, just so funny. Taimachin Torah! We need the Taimachin Torah! Who's gonna give me some money to build my institution called Time? Sunday, maybe. Maybe you'll give me epis, you can give me a donation. So Sunday says,
If Monday gives,
very good. Yeah. Monday, will you give? If Tuesday gives, you can make a whole skit. You can make a whole skit out of this. And what was the end? They all got to this. You know what? The Ribbono Shel Olam knew he wants to build an institution called Shabbos Kodesh. No. All right, you know what? Out of the goodness of their hearts, we'll be masking to help Hashem. We'll give. We'll each give 4 hours.
4 out of 28 is 1/7.
What?
4 out of 28 is 1/7.
Right. Exactly. So everyone gave 4 hours. So it started off as a 28-hour day. That's time, original time. And there was a donation made by each day to the Ribbono Shel Olam's cause of 4 hours. So what did Hashem walk away with when the appeal was over? He had 24 hours. And Hashem built this thing called Shabbos Kodesh. And that's why, and what did each day give? Each day, this now when you give hours, okay, I have 28 hours. Which hour should I give? You know, not every hour of the day is the best. Some parts of the day you sleep. Some parts of the day you eat. Some parts of the day you go to the Beis HaKiseh. You know, every minute has a different purpose during the day. When they gave to the donation to the Shabbos, they could have given time of the day, which is dead time, right? When you're in the Beis HaKiseh, who knows what you're doing that time? They all decide at the goodness of their heart each day to give the best. The idiot should be idiot to Hashem's cause. It's a very successful campaign. And that's why Shabbos is called Chemdas Hayomim, the most beloved of the days. It doesn't just simply mean that Shabbos is one day of the... Oh, Shabbos is Shabbos. No, no, no. Every day contributed 4 hours. But what did it contribute for? Which 4 hours? The most productive 4 hours of what otherwise would have been. Had there not been a Shabbos in this world, if the world would have been plan A, the way Hashem created the world, there would have been a Shabbos. If every day would have been stingy and say, no, 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 no. You created me, you gave me 28 hours, that's it. I'm sorry, I can't support you, Hashem. I don't have any money for you. I don't have anything to give you. So then the world would exist today a six-day week, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. That's the way it would have been. And each day would have been 28 hours. But each day gave 4 hours, and they gave the best. They gave the best of each day. And that the best of each day created a new reality in time called Shabbos. And Shabbos, and the Giga was the best. It's called Chemdas Yomim. Oysei Karasa. Yeah?
That could be because in time you don't have present. You have future or you have past.
There is no present. There's no present.
So maybe it was present. So it was given away because you can't give away. Interesting. Only what is yours.
Fascinating. You're saying you're really enhancing this in a beautiful way. You're saying that perhaps the 4 hours was the present. And that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is eternal. It's eternal, which is not the past, not the future. This is a super-duper complex chazal, and I've seen Mefarshim play with this in so many ways. Because you know, you look at each all the Eitan. It says every day, now let's go back to the Eitan. In the Koheles, how many Eitan are there? 28. Each of the Eitan represents 1 hour of the day. So that means during the day, during the 28 hours of the day, there's an hour when you're supposed to dance. And there's an hour when you're supposed to cry. And there's an hour when you're supposed to embrace someone. And there's an hour when you're supposed to distance yourself from embracing. There's an hour when you're supposed to plant. An hour when you're supposed to build. An hour when you're supposed to uproot. An hour when you're supposed to demolish. Go on, the whole list. So now, every single day, they gave the Shabbos. They gave the best. What part of the day, what hour, the hour they gave, was it the hour of dancing? Was it the hour... Exactly, but maybe it means something more homiletic, something more a metaphor, you build, who knows what... So you have to go study old Mefarshim. Everyone's going to tell you, this is Ein Moshivin al Adrush. Okay? The more creative you are, the more you'll be able to uncover hidden gems in this Maimon Chazal. But you hear, right, you ask a very good question, where does the number 24...
We have Chatzos for the day, the middle of the day. The daytime is divided to 12 hours. Not necessarily 60 minutes.
Well, that's called Shos Zemanios. The perfect day is the equinox. And that is exactly Bidiyok, 12 hours. So 60 minutes.
The darkness is also divided to 12.
At the equinox, it's exactly 66, equinox. So that's the time, that is the model for the whole year. Because for most of us, we can't be so sophisticated every single day to go and readjust the hours. So we borrow. When we borrow time, that we just, for the sake of simplicity, not everyone is a big mathematician. Look, equinox, it's 60 minutes. There are 24 hours, each hour is 60 minutes. Let us use it as a model for the whole year. Right? That's what we do pretty much. That's halachic knowledge. Halacha works with that more often than not. You want to go, be a little more machmir, you want to go use show zmanios. Not everyone uses show. We're very machmir. We like to make things more complicated than it needs to be. So we use show zmanios. We go look up online. When was sunrise? When was sunset? When is seis? And the gra? And the Magen Avraham? And we manipulate. We just make things so complicated. And the truth is, most of the time, according to halacha, you're not even mechuyev to do that. Many times, mikra adin, you can be much more lenient, and you can just take the hours. You know, there's a shita, people don't like to talk about this. I'm very happy, I love the shita. And we learned this, we first started learning it together many years ago. In this shir, we learned in the Kitz Shulchan Aruch, and we learned with the parish of Rabbi Brown in the Sha'odim, in Mitzin B'Halacha, and he writes, what is Soivis Man Kriyashma? So he writes, you don't follow Shozmanios, the Reis Shita. You have until the end of 3 hours, which means every single Shabbos, Soif Zman Kriya Shema is 10 o'clock. Every single day. Every single day of the year, no difference. Soif Zman Kriya Shema is either 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Daylight savings times. Okay, is that amazing? We don't have to go sunrise. It's a standard. So, you know how many people that saves? You know how many people do not daven Kriya Shema until 9:40? Who people daven 9 o'clock on Shabbos, so daven even later than 9 o'clock? No, Kriya Shema, they're not paying attention. Not everyone, unfortunately, is so meticulous. So, Baruch Hashem! You can't chas v'shalom say the mevatel misadaraisa. You said Kriya Shema before 10 o'clock? Good for you. You would say. Can we go to, you go among a crowd of B'nai Torah? Oh, we're davening 8 o'clock to make the earliest man, to make this man, and then you come to shul 9 o'clock to give a clap. Say it's not Kriya Shema. Is it 9:15? Say now. You know, guess what? That's a very big chutz of chumrah because in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Shem Shem Halacha, Rabbi Brown cites the Shita that just because your friend didn't say Kriya Shema before 9:13 and 29 and a half seconds, don't worry. He's also a very fine fellow and was Mekayim Mitzvah D'Oraisa of Kriya Shema before 10 o'clock. So don't get all worked up. I mean, you shouldn't do it. It's not the custom, and we try to say Kriya Shema before the Zman Kriya Shema. Let's not become too lenient, Chas V'Shalom, but don't go look down on anyone. Don't go be holier than thou. So the number 24 is a very holy number. It's rooted in Dvarim Ha'imdim Berumoy Shel Olam. K28, and believe me, the day will come when science will have a much greater understanding of how time works, and we know there's a lot more to time. Einstein came along, theory of relativity, and opened up a whole new world in understanding time. What is time? Is it time davar sheyesh by mamish? Is time? I mean, time is just something that is scientifically so fascinating. It's so beyond our understanding.
Gravity and mass are all related.
The complexity is beyond our wildest imagination, and as things go on, and we're getting more and more. There's this thing called string theory. Okay, on NPR, Lehrer, what's his first name? Forgot his first name. On NPR, he's obsessed with this thing called string theory. He always talks about. He always brings on the news. The latest developments in what's called string theory, which basically means the possibility for man to go back in time. Okay, if you go high enough in the atmosphere, if you go higher, who knows where, I don't know where, how high you're going to go into another galaxy, theoretically speaking, according to string theory, you can go back in time. It's called string theory. Google it. Google it, string theory, that which basically means that time is much slower. You've all seen science fiction. You've all seen science fiction films where there's a difference in time in other parts, of this Milky Universe, however, whatever that means. But when you take it to an extreme, that can possibly mean that you can go back in time. And how the science works and to make it practical is very fascinating. To go for a human being, theoretically, that for a human being to go and go back in time is like, wow, who wouldn't want to do that? Right? It would be scary to do that. Go back, you can watch someone go back, I'll give you my smartphone, and you go back.
Theoretically, you can see the past.
Can see the bit? Who knows? Could you imagine?
It's always somewhere with the light from today.
That's another theory. That's another theory. Is that right? Right. That's a whole different theory. But what about you yourself as a person going back and your whole body going back in time? You're saying something different. You're saying sound waves. Sound waves never end.
Yes, Stephen Hawking described this thing about passing.
Who says it's impossible? String theory makes it possible. Kol Gadol, you're saying something else. Kol Gadol v'lo yosof. When you speak, you create a sound wave. So theoretically speaking, that sound wave never ends.
And light never ends.
So just a matter, we do not have the instruments today available to pick up the sound wave after 1 second. It's gone. Yeah, sound wave, we don't have. But maybe the day will come when we will have technology that will be so super sensitive to be able to pick up the sound wave long after years. And we'll have the ability to differentiate between one sound wave and trillions, I don't even know the numbers, of other sound waves that have existed from time immemorial. And then you'll be able to listen to Matan Torah, to the Ribbono Shel Olam saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You'll be able to eavesdrop on every neighbor you ever had.
They are.
What they said 50 years ago. You'll be able to listen. Can you imagine how dangerous it would be, such a tool? And then when you take light, because every time you do something, same idea.
But the future you can't do.
The future, very good. Your future, you're right.
Theoretically,
you can't do the future.
Okay,
but maybe when you, but then there's string theory where you can take yourself to a different atmosphere where time is slower and you can wait and then come back or go back. Okay, these are very mysterious things. Okay, time in Olam HaEmes, the reason why it's so fascinating, this thing called string theory in time, is because we have a tradition that by the Ribbono Shel Olam, his name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is a composite of Hoya, Hoveh, V'yiyeh. What is Yud Kei Vav Kei? That's the name. We always say Yud Kei, the letters Yud, the letter Hey, Vav, Hey. Those four letters. What does that word come from? So it's a very complicated, what is that, mystical hocus-pocus? What is that? So, first of all, many commentators tell us that it's not in Hebrew. Because there is no way you can possibly define Hashem. The letters Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei is not a Hebrew collection of letters. Hashem is beyond our understanding, our knowledge, and therefore don't even try to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu and put him a representation on paper in the holy language. Impossible. The best you can do is a translation, because translations are nothing real. They're just make-believe.
Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is a translation of
Hebrew. Right, it is. Correct. But first of all, it's Aramaic. And it's Aramaic of three words that we merge, we synthesize. Hoya, the past. Hoveh, the present. And Yihyeh, the future. Take the common letters of those three words. Yud, hey, yud, hey. Ye, he, ye. Yud, hey, yud, hey. What? But we're also adding hoveh. Hey, vav.
That's there.
What?
That's there.
That's the vav. Yeah. No, it's not there. Hoveh, yud, yud, hoveh is not yud, hey, vav, hey.
No, it's hey, vav, hey.
What?
Hey, vav, hey, no?
Hey, Hey Vav Aleph. Yud Hey.
I don't know.
No, it's Hey Vav
Hey. Hey, let's say it's Hey Vav Hey. Make it simple. Hey Vav Hey. Fine. Fine. Hey Vav Hey.
And Hoya is there also.
Hoya.
But so, he is not there.
He is there. We're taking the common letters
right.
okay, of these
but
three.
It doesn't have the same.
Vav. Yud K. Vav K.
Is he here?
No, no. How do you spell Hashem's name?
Yud K. Vav K.
Okay, now take the word Hoya, the past.
Hey, Yud
He. Hey, Yud
we're
He.
There. We're good. So,
take the word Hoveh.
If it's spelled Hey, Vav Hey, we're good. We're there.
Okay. Yihyeh.
Is Yihyeh.
What does Yihyeh offer?
Don't
no, you don't need two yuds for you. You just need one. You don't need two yuds. You just need the common letters. You just the letters can be repeated.
But you the don't, two yuds, one of them can go to Hobet.
Doesn't have the same.
You don't need to have. You don't need to add every single letter. You don't need. You just need a composite. I hear what you say. I don't know the details. I have to go. I have to study it. I have to go back to the source and study it because I don't remember. I have to go back and say. But the basic idea is Yud Kei Vav Kei is a composite. It's Aramaic. It's not in Hebrew. It's Aramaic. And it's a composite of the Hoya, Hoive, V'yiyeh. Time. So in other words, how are we defining Hashem? We're defining Hashem as Hashem is timeless. Timeless. And we, the most physical element in this world, beyond anything else in this world, is time. There's nothing more gashmis. We think a piece of paper, we think food, we think amir, we think the spiritual world, there's nothing tangible, right? So how do you define this world? Or you can touch it. We live in a physical world, basar v'dam, right? That's how we think. Now, that's the difference between this world. It's true, that's a very big difference, but there's even a bigger difference between this world and the next world. And that is the principle of time. In this world, Masha Hoya Kevar Hoya. Umasha Yia Adayin Lo. We don't know what's going to be. It has not yet happened. The present is a fleeting moment. There's this very strange existence that we live in with this linear time. It's linear. In the Olam HaEmes, there's no such thing as time. Okay, the spookiest word I ever my life heard. I told this to you once, it totally spooked me out beyond belief, and it was taught by Rav, it was a very bad, I finally saw a video of him speaking, I was very impressed with him. His name is Sholom Kamenetsky. This is Shmuel Kamenetsky's son. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky is the Rashi of Philadelphia, and he has a son, and his son is basically the Rashi of Philadelphia now. Okay, he's the Rashi. So he in Philadelphia, it's not like New York. New York is very, very stifling in the yeshiva world. Philadelphia, they're much more open-minded. You see that video of how they sang the Star Spangled Banner by the graduation? That was a beautiful video. Pledge of Allegiance, they had this. You got to see it to believe it. It was really beautiful. That by the graduation, the 12th grade graduation in Philadelphia this year, it's online. Google it. It's online. You saw it? Isn't it beautiful?
Nice.
So they by the graduation, all the boys were dressed in you know black suits, white shirts, and a tie, and they opened up the graduation with the boys reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and then singing with music, the Star Spangled Banner. And all of the Roshei HaYeshiva were standing right next to the boys. And it was so dignified, I said to myself, I don't think you can find a goy in the whole country, from sea to shining sea, that can recite the Pledge of Allegiance and sing the Star Spangled Banner with such dignity, like I saw in this video. There was one boy there that was playing games, though. Okay? Besides the one boy, I don't know, there was a little playing a little smirk on his face. The one boy was so. Besides that one boy, everyone else there was with the program, and I was and how the Rashivas was standing there. And this is a product of chinuch, and it's an old generation. Something it's a throwback to 50 years ago, which is extinct in this world. Is extinct in this world today. You have to see this video. You go online and you type in Philadelphia Star Spangled Banner or the Pledge of Allegiance. It'll come up right away. on one of the websites, whatever, these Jewish websites, Matzev Yeshiva, and you'll find them very easily. You'll find, just type it in, the Philadelphia Yeshiva in 2019 graduation. Just type in these keywords, you'll find it right away. I was blown away. Try to find me goyim that would say it with such dignity. Except for that one boy. Okay. It's very, very fast. What?
We still sing in my school. We still sing the
Okay. 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 They didn't sing Atikva. Okay. That they didn't do. That they didn't do. Okay. Okay, but going back.
They wouldn't get into Lakewood.
All right, but Rabbi Sai, going back. So going back to time. Time is something which is not. So I was telling you. So that yeshiva, one of the Rashi yeshiva is Sholem Kamenetsky. That yeshiva, that they're a little more.
Yeah.
So for a year, for yeshiva. It's no, you know yeshiva. What? Oh, he's there. He's always own yeshiva. His own yeshiva. Okay, new place. Okay. So he used to give shiurim to balabatim, which are a very different type of balabatim you find in New York City, who wanted to learn something out of the box. So they asked them, could we learn about Olam Haba? Let's learn about real esoteric stuff, real heavy-duty stuff. So he learned with them, like really way out stuff. And one of the balabatim, he recorded the shiurim, and he wrote it up. And he already published two books. Small books, they're not big books, small books, very nice. You know, not, it wasn't published, our school wouldn't publish something like this. But it was very, it's not light, it's not heavy, it's like very light. And one of the things he writes there is, this really spooked me out, is that the person he dies, think about this, put it in the scene. Person is 120 years old, and he's surrounded by his children, and he's now dying. He's leaving this world, his blood pressure is dropping, and the doctors call the family, come to the hospital, come. Now is the time. And the whole family comes running, children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and they're all standing around the bed, and they light candles, and they're saying, they're reciting the vidui shrivnera, and they're saying vidui, and they're saying Shema Yisrael, they're saying Tehillim, and then the zokain of the family is lying there on his bed, he's about to die, open up his eyes, and he looks around. Ah, he was zoiche to this beautiful maimed of his children surrounding his bed as he leaves this world. He looks at his children, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and he says, Shema Yisrael, and he dies. What happens next? What happens next to this person? The next thing is, this is what he says, listen, this is what he says, it spooked me out, I couldn't believe what he says. The next thing is, the next second, he opens up his eyes in the Olam HaEmes, the next second, he closes his eyes, he leaves this world. Opens up his eyes in the Olam HaEmes, and he is surrounded by exactly the same people that were around him by when he died, and they have already died, and now they're being makabel him on the other side, like a Twilight Zone film, right? Like a Twilight Zone movie here, right? That's what it means in the Olam HaEmes. There's no time. We don't get it. And it's impossible for the mind to get it. But if you connect the dots, that's what it means. In this world, we're in linear time. There's a past, there's a present, future. If I'm dying now and you're all alive, I don't want to see you for a very long time. You stay here, I'll stay there, and let's not see each other for a very long time. That's my bracha to you. I should never see you. You should stay here and live a long, good life, and don't worry about me where I'm going. But being that in the Olam HaEmes, there's no such thing as time, that means that when he comes to the Olam HaEmes, time already has picked. There's no such thing as time. So they are there on the other side of the world, exactly in the same position, to greet him. I just saw you a second ago. What are you doing here? What does that mean? Okay, so this is really, really spooky, spooky stuff. All right, we're out of time. We're going to have to continue this again tomorrow. Let's take a short break and we'll talk about some inyanim of Bein HaMitzorim.